This is WJFF, your community radio station, and right now, this is the time of All Things Considered when we check in with the community and keep you more connected. And right now, we're going to be joined on the phone by Kathleen Christie, but just to let you know, she's a therapist in Liberty, New York, and we're going to be talking about decompressing and self-care strategies. Now, her work covers everything from traditional psychotherapy to contentment and mindfulness, and right now she is working on Decompress with Kathleen Christie. This is these essential self-care strategies. It's a Zoom meeting that's happening this coming Friday. And did anything I say there, was that wrong, Kathleen?
You are so correct. You feel really well compressed. It's amazing.
Okay, great. But you want to get us decompressed.
That's it. Well, you sound very grounded.
Oh,
which
good.
Is really the intention of decompression. But my goodness, aren't we all carrying just quite a bit nowadays? But yes, everything you have said is true.
Well, I imagine you want to help people actually decompress, and as opposed to just acting while you're on
yes.
air, which is essentially what I'm doing.
Well, yeah. There's an amazing impact of sometimes acting as if we have been pushing ourselves to just forcing yourself to smile just a little bit, maybe in a Mona Lisa style more than a maniacal style. It really does ignite the neurotransmitters in our brain that just allow a little dopamine flow and so helps us feel better. Sometimes we do a crazy thing every once in a while. I do a lot of work in the field of addiction and with people in recovery, and I get them to be totally goofy and do laughing meditation, which is literally laughing out loud for like 5 to 10 minutes. I usually let them hear me, even if they select to mute themselves in our Zoom therapy group meetings. And my laughter apparently will make them laugh for 5 to 10 minutes, and even if they didn't feel like doing it, they couldn't help themselves and then feel better at the end. So there are magic elements to the acting as if, so don't stop now.
Okay, all right. Well, and there's a few things that you mentioned in there that want me to stop and just ask, like, so if you're doing Zoom meetings with you were talking about patients that you would ordinarily have there, correct?
Correct. Yep.
So were you already doing virtual sessions like this before the pandemic hit, or have you had to adjust?
A little bit of both. I have a private practice in Liberty, as you mentioned, and that is a traditional face-to-face format in an office. And nearly all of my clients from that office have transitioned to using an online platform for getting through the current situation we find ourselves in with COVID-19. In addition to that, I run therapeutic groups for people who are in an intensive outpatient drug treatment program that's done entirely online. And that's been happening. That program has been up and running, and running that program exclusively online for 10 years. So that work is, it's like nothing has changed except for the added stress and pressure of the situation we find ourselves in as a society. So that work has always been online. So I have experience and it's doing that, and it's been really helpful in just transitioning the temporary onlineness of individual clients I have in my practice. But I do work via the internet in Zoom and Zoom-like platforms regularly. So it's just been welcoming people into those places and seeing them as a way to connect when we don't have a better option.
Yeah. When we talk to people both on air and off air, we say, how are you doing? Because everybody wants to know how everybody's doing. But
yep.
Now that I've got you here, I want to ask you, how's everybody else doing? How are people doing? What are you hearing? What are you sensing from what you're able to gather in our area? How are people doing?
I think one of the things that I have noticed and really encourage all people to do is to look around and see the way that the community is coming together. And it's a source of great relief and comfort. I think we can get hyper-focused on numbers and tracking news and everything else. But the amazing thing is the people who are really out there supporting and making sure people have food, have connection, are called is a great way to just, you know, relax yourself as well. And I think people in general are really trying to find ways to navigate. I feel as if there's sort of a different flow each week. You know, everybody came into this sort of with the idea of 2 weeks in their head. So it was like, okay, I can do it for 2 weeks. Then when that gets extended, you sort of have built up with the expectation. So there was last week and the week before, you could feel people sort of being on edge, school coming back, and just each district, and I'm connected with districts, New York City, beyond our immediate area, and also here, that are all figuring out something different. And so how that gets navigated is it's the unknown that sort of has crept back in. So people are just finding a different, I feel like a different perspective of the stressor each week. And so it just takes constant regrouping and coming back into your body and your head and saying, what do I have? What can I control? And really letting go of what we can't. And just understanding that we're all in a moment of unknown. It's not like someone's holding the magic answer and they're holding it back. It's just that we're all sharing the space together. So I think as the pressure changes from week to week, but there is seemingly an escalation in response to something each week, if that makes any sense.
Right. And as you're talking and mentioning, you know, the difference between the upstate schools and the downstate schools, I was thinking, man, that's gotta be something that stresses people. Just something as simple as the sort of conflict between what Mayor de Blasio is saying and what Governor Cuomo is saying, between we're going to keep the schools closed. Like, well, not so fast. We haven't really said that yet. And
yep,
that's gotta be stressful for people. But that leads me to the question of, as you're encountering these things through your work professionally, but you're also looking at the news and the media like the rest of us are, as you gather information, as you look at things, is there anything you sit there because of your perspective and your profession and your concerns about people's mental health? Is there anything that you wish was being done differently, whether it's the media or what politicians are doing? Is there anything you sit there and say, you know, this is really what they should be saying right now?
You know, I think that's part of the challenge is that I don't think there's anybody ill-intentioned. I think everybody would like to get through this and is sort of thinking about one aspect or the other. From my time in New York City and thinking about the schools and this, that, and the next thing, it's a really complicated issue. We had this every time we talked about snow delays. Like, it wasn't about, is it safe to get in, but is it, you know, are families without food able to access food? Is someone checking in on kids that we might have concerns with? Is there a way to create connection? And I think some of that happens up here. You know, am I glad that I'm not sitting in a seat with more power and more capacity to have to direct and dictate? Yes, I am glad I'm not there. And I go to what can we control? I can't control how they navigate either political moves or differently interpreted looks at the statistics and numbers that are coming in. But I go back to what can we do as individuals? As an individual, we can take a big deep breath and not add to the anxiety that people want to process in thinking about this is what I would do and this is what they should do. I don't think there's a lot of answer in the shoulds. And so I try not to point out what I would do differently because I'm glad that I don't have to.
Well, and not only that, it sounds to me like you practice what you recommend for people, because here I'm saying, like, hey, if you were in the seat of power, either in terms of politics or in terms of the media, and you could wave a wand and make something different happen, what would you do? And you turn that into, well, I'm just glad I don't have that weighing on me. I'm just glad that I don't have to do that. That's seeing the positive in even just a hypothetical question.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there's a lot we can do. And again, I redirect myself and everybody else as much as possible. And it's not right. It's not a magic wand and it's not the answer to all. But when you find yourself getting overwhelmed about what's not happening or what you wish would happen or wanting to know something that isn't accessible, look for what is being done, right? If you're going to scroll Facebook, make it a scavenger hunt for finding out who's doing what for the community. There's such amazing representatives out there. You guys have been sharing such amazing information about where people can get help and support. There's such amazing work happening, and this connects back to the Friday experience of artists getting out there and really using this platform to create places for people to grow and think and create and really step out of the anxiety and into something that's very different in our brains and in our hearts chemically that help us manage these times and anxiety in general. And so, you know, you find the good. I know kids have been doodling with Mo Willems online every day at 1 o'clock. I said, you know, and there's all sorts of virtual tours of museums from across the country and across the world. There's musical and theatrical performances that are accessible. And then our own local artists who are thinking creatively about how they can get the work out there and be living together virtually to just create a break in the day and some things to look forward. And I think that's the stuff you spend some time digging into and seeking out that makes a real difference in how you're navigating the day-to-day and the week-to-week.
So along those lines, another thing that's happening online is what you're doing, which is Decompress with Kathleen Christie in coordination with the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance. It's happening this Friday at 2. It's happening on Zoom. What can people expect if they participate? What will you be doing?
It's a super simple and easily approachable look at simple strategies for just grounding ourselves. You don't have to have any experience. There might be a meditation practice or a mindfulness moment. We'll do a couple other things of just thinking about how we think about things and how that can help manage just the anxiety and the energy that we're using every day so that we can keep ourselves healthy and safe, both physically and emotionally, because this stuff really builds up. And as we and everybody else in the community is carrying so much around, this will just be a little bit of a release. And it really was. I was so grateful for DVAA reaching out and asking if there was something that we could think about doing. They have been trying to keep the creative community connected and then wanted to think about ways to give back to them. And I'm so grateful just to have this small way. They give us lots of energy release, and hopefully this can offer them a little bit of de-stressing as well. So people can expect to just maybe laugh, maybe have a poignant moment of reflection, think about things they're grateful for, and the intention is to have us all connect and feel a little bit more deeply breathed at the end of it. It's just an hour of good connection. So nothing to be anxious about, and if any of it sounds woo-hoo or crazy, just try it out. I promise one laugh along the way.
All right. And this is happening again Friday at 2 on Zoom, Decompress with Kathleen Christie. Where can people go to find out more about this?
You can go right to Delaware Valley Arts Alliance's website or Facebook page. I've also reposted it on my Facebook page, which is Kathleen A. Christie, LCSW. But DVAA is probably easier to remember, and so click right through to there. And members should all have received an email, so it could be sitting in your inbox just waiting to be clicked. And we're really looking forward to it.
All right, DelawareValleyArtsAlliance.org. And Kathleen Christie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.